Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Is your marriage in trouble? Or are you a single person who longs to be married but haven't found the right person yet to marry? Or perhaps you're wondering, what does marriage even look like? Or what does family look like in the years that we're living in, at this particular time in mankind's history? These are great questions to ask, and we're going to address them in today's program with my guest, Robert Hodgkin. It's wonderful to have you with us today, Robert. This is an important subject.
This is an important subject.
We're going to take the family
mountain. Come on, that's right.
You know, with the seven mountains of influence in society, you know, we've got the government mountain, the media mountain, the business mountain, you know, the arts and entertainment, the education, the church mountain. But I think one of the most important mountains of influence in society is the family.
And it's the one that's been under attack as much or more than any of the other mountains.
And it's ignored.
It is.
You know, if you think of apostles on all the different mountains, there's lots of them serving in government. They have a voice.
That's right.
There's lots of them in media, in business. You know, you see these voices out there, definitely the church, you know, even in education. There's a lot of voice, apostolic voice in those areas, but not too many ministries are representing an apostolic voice in the area of marriage and family, and yet it's so vital.
It is vital. And it's so on God's heart. You know, he's even referred to as our bridegroom. Mm-hmm. That's how much he cares about marriage. But I don't think that we're seeing enough in our society, discussing enough in society and in the church about the challenges that marriages are facing. I've got an interesting statistic that I came across recently from George Barna and the Barna Group. And Patricia, this is what he said. Divorce is now seen as an unavoidable rite of passage. Interviews with young adults suggest that they want their initial marriage to last, but are not particularly optimistic about that possibility. There's also evidence that many young people are moving toward embracing the idea of serial marriage, in which a person gets married two or three times, seeking a different partner for each phase
of
their life.
Wow. That is so sad to hear that this next generation coming up is confused about marriage. They want a lifelong relationship,
yes,
but they have nothing to model it in because they've seen so much brokenness. And so their expectation is what they call serial marriages.
Right. But there's another interesting fact I came across from Christianity Today wrote this. A majority of happy couples agree with the statement, God is at the center of our marriage. So I absolutely think there is hope for marriage, because
right,
when we put God at the center of marriage, our God who's all about relationship, we put him at the center of the marriage. Now it's just not husband and wife, it's husband, wife, and the Lord. There's that three-stranded cord that is strong.
I remember many years ago, this would have been back maybe in the 1980s, early 1990s, the Lord took me into a vision, and it was in the second heaven.
Okay.
And I saw this council of demon spirits, high power principalities and powers that were having a meeting specifically, and they were actually saying to one another, what plans do you have for destroying Christian marriages?
Mm.
And so what it was is an actual assault. The Lord allowed me to see it. I put prayer directives out at the time. Mm-hmm. We went into fasting and prayer at the time because I realized that the enemy is threatened by the power of strong marriage and family that is centered in Christ Jesus. And what I'm getting in my spirit right now for some of you is that I realize that as you're watching this, some of you have faced divorce or are in the middle of a troubled marriage that might end up in divorce. And this is one thing we want to say right at the top here, is that divorce is a very painful thing, and we feel for what you have gone through in the past or what you are maybe going through now with a troubled marriage. It's nothing that you anticipate. When you get married, you don't thinking, you know, I'm at the altar right now, but I hope to have a divorce in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years or whatever. It's just not in our mindset. We have an expectation for a good marriage, a covenant relationship. And so We know that many of you are hurting, and we want to see you rescued. We want to see us go to the next level. So there's no condemnation in this at all. If your marriage has not been one of the happy marriages with God at the center, or if your marriage has ended in divorce, we want to make that really clear, or if you're in trouble right now. But we're going to fight for you. Yeah. We're going to fight for you, and we're going to fight for our generation that we're living in. The next generation coming up needs some hope. They need some help. We need to establish in our nation a strong foundation of family, because that is the foundational unit. And in Genesis, we see that that's where we first see about marriage.
Absolutely.
First of all, in Genesis 1, it said God created male and female, and that they together had dominion, as male and female together, having dominion and rule. So that speaks to us about the power of the union.
Yes.
But then it says in chapter 2 that he said the man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh.
That's right.
So right in Genesis, we see marriage and family. Then in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, we see marriage again, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. So why then are we, you know, we are talking about this subject. Why is marriage so important for us to look at and to get established?
Well, first of all, God is all about relationship. Everything he did for us at the cross was to make a way for us to come back into relationship with him and experience the abundance of his love and know the security and certainty of being chosen by someone who will give everything to be with you. And I believe he created the marriage covenant as a reflection of that. Mm-hmm. And what he intends for marriage is for man and woman to come together to have an experience of, a tangible experience of that kind of love, where we give ourselves as completely, selflessly, and lovingly towards someone as he's given himself to us.
Beautiful.
So we're meant to know this secure foundation of marriage with mm-hmm. God and in God. And from that, then, think about it. If you have a secure foundation, if you have a secure base, you can do anything. You can stand up to anything. God even talks about it in the Bible when he's our foundation. You know, wind can come, rain can come, flood can come, but if we build ourselves upon the rock, then we have a firm foundation. The covenant of marriage is to be a reflection of that, is to be an experience of that in the earth, so that we take what we have in the spirit with him, and then we have this strong foundation, this strong base of marriage and family in our life, that it's our safe place, it's our harbor, it's our strength, it's where we come back to, so that we can go out into the world and be who he's created us to be, and we always have this strong place to operate from.
Robert, I love what you said about, you know, like when we get married, this person that we are committing to is the person that we get to love on them like Jesus loved.
Exactly.
That we get to serve them as Jesus
served
us, that we get to bless them as Jesus blessed
us.
I love that concept, because most of the time, I think when people get married, they're looking at what they're going to get out of the marriage.
That's
the focus.
That's right.
I hope I can get married to a really great person, because then they can bless me and serve me, and I'll have someone to be with, and I'll have comfort, and I'll have this, but which is great, but to be Christ-like is to lay ourselves down for the sake of another. And God, even in his word, uses the story of Hosea, for example, to prove his heart, that even when someone was so, you know, unfaithful in everything, that he was proving the heart of love that would pass the love test, that would go the extra mile, that would do whatever it would take to serve that person.
That's right.
And in the New Testament, it says, yes, this is the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Of a marriage. It's a mystery that this is a picture of Christ in the church. This is the activity that is to take place in our marriage, is that level of love. So I love that.
Well, you know, I think of a couple years ago, I had someone come up to one of my meetings, and he had come with his wife. He was honest with me. He said, my wife dragged me here. But he listened to the message, and he came up to me. He said, well, you seem to know the word of God. I said, well, to some degree, I sure do. And he said, well, then will you please tell my wife the word of God says she needs to obey me as her husband? And I looked at him. I said, you know what, sir? You're absolutely right. The word does say she needs to obey you. And isn't it beautiful the context in which that's communicated, which is, husbands, you're to love your wives as Christ loves the church. So that you create from this selfless place of loving and serving your wife a safe atmosphere where she knows and trusts your love so much that she's safe to obey because she knows what you want for her is as much or more than she wants for herself. And I think that really, for me, that scripture in the New Testament really speaks to me about the heart of marriage. That we love one another, as you said, selflessly, as Christ does. And then in that, there's this beautiful expression of being able to be selfless. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the problems in marriage right now is that we tend to be more selfish. Mm-hmm. We go into it saying, what do I get? What can I have from this marriage? How are you going to serve me? How are you going to meet my needs? As opposed to saying, isn't it glorious that there's three of us in this marriage? You, me, and the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord meets all my needs. The Lord loves me perfectly. And from that place of all my needs being met in Him, I can serve you. And I think one of the keys to marriage is I'm a newlywed. But as I've observed really strong marriages, and I'll lift you and Ron up as an example, all the years you guys have been married, I have watched you over the years of knowing you, and it's inspired Uri and I in our marriage of how you serve one another, how you lay your lives down for one another, that you trust God in the marriage, and then you have one of the most selfless marriages I've ever seen. I think of your husband and the way he serves your calling and the way you support him in his calling. To me, we need more examples of this, because I'm sure marriage over the course of 40, 50, 60 years, there's going to be bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. But if in that we're looking, how can I serve my mate mm-hmm. in this bump, as opposed to what aren't you giving mm-hmm. me that I want during
right.
this time?
And I think, Robert, that one of the areas that we really have to look at is the whole subject of communication.
Yes.
Because most marriages, I think, have their tensions because of not being able to properly process.
Right.
And so, you know, a little rift comes up, which is normal in every marriage. There's going to be tensions or disagreements or whatever. But if you can process them through,
that's right.
it'll strengthen the relationship. And what usually happens in these tension moments is they each take a side.
Yes.
And instead of even listening carefully and not only to their spouse, but also to the Lord, and say, how can I serve my spouse here? How can I better bless them? How can I bring them around? How can I bring resolve to this issue? It's more like I'm on the defensive and
yes.
I'm going to win, you
right,
know?
Right.
And then you get the conflict and hurt each other. If those hurts are not healed, then the next time around, it adds more trauma. And in the day and hour that we're living in with, like, everything is so busy. I mean, oftentimes you have the mother and the father in a marriage,
yes,
both working sometimes more than one job. So there's not the time to really build the relationship, you know, taking the time to mm-hmm. do it. And then, you know, you get home, you're tired, you're, you know, just throwing family together.
Right.
And family just happens instead of actually creating family. And that's something that I think is worth thinking about and praying into, is like, are you letting family happen? Or are you creating family with God? Because there's so much opportunity, even if you are busy, to create an environment of love in a marriage.
Absolutely. And I do think you have to be intentional. And I do think communication is huge. I'll just give you an example from my own life. Recently, Uri and I, we had a disagreement. And I got caught up. I was right. And I got caught up in being right. And I got frustrated. And I went to the Lord with it, sort of like, you know, okay, God, you really got to help her see that I'm right. And all He wanted to talk about was how I was responding. And what He said to me is, even if you're right, you're not responding in the right way. And the light went on, and I realized, wait, it doesn't matter so much about being right. What matters is approaching this in the right way, selflessly, lovingly, preferring her over myself. And all of a sudden, I got me out of the way. I got my pride mm-hmm. out of the way. I got my, oh my gosh, we're still newlyweds, and is precedent going to be established if I don't? And all that just fell away. And it became,
awesome.
How can I serve her in this? And all of a sudden, we created a safe place for us to communicate. And I was able to say, hey, here's what I'm frustrated with. And she was able to respond and come back to me and say, well, this is what I'm wrestling with. And all of a sudden, we were hearing each other's hearts as opposed to the screaming in our own head of, but I want to be right, and I'm right, and this is right.
And then you get closer together through something that could have been taken by the enemy to bring destruction.
Right.
It actually brought more strength to your relationship than what you had previously.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. There's someone watching right now, and you have actually just been in a tension within your home. It was a tough one. And this word is for you. You might have even been right in the situation, but you know, humility will take the enemy out.
Sure,
and
will.
Love and just saying, what can I do to respond correctly in this? Was my response okay, or did I get defensive and upset and angry, and you know, have I got offense even right now in my heart? And if you deal with those things before the Lord, you'll become more Christ-like. When you're more Christ-like, you'll be able to serve your spouse better, and you can resolve this conflict. Any conflict can be resolved if both parties are willing to humble themselves in love, but it oftentimes will start with just one. Now, Robert, I want to share a little bit, I want you to share actually a little bit about your journey, because you got married in your 50s
at
for
50.
The first time.
Yeah, that's right. First time at 50 years of age.
And, you know, I just would love everybody to be married.
Yes.
Okay. And because I think it's so beautiful.
Yes.
Family is so beautiful. But there's a lot of people that are in their 50s, maybe even older, that are not married yet, and maybe haven't even been once married, or they had a bad marriage and then were left single for many years and just want what God has for them.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't come around. And what I've noticed is that there's fear that gets in there, and confusion, like, wow, I'm getting older. Maybe I'm not going to be able to find the right person. Maybe I'll, you know, and maybe I'm not even a whole person if I can't be married. Would you address that? Share a bit of your journey.
Absolutely.
And your process in that.
Yeah, my journey is an interesting one, because I had not had a lot of luck with relationships for most of my life. I had, before I was a Christian, I dated a lot, but I never really connected. A lot of it probably had to do with issues from my youth and things like that. But I had a radical encounter with Jesus when I was 38 years old, and fell madly, madly in love with him, and just followed him with all my heart, gave him my entire life. And I was convinced at one point, thinking, well, maybe I have a Paul call. You know, maybe I'm called to be single, and I'm just going to go around the world with the Lord. And I told him all the time, you're my everything, you're more than enough, you're all I need. And yet, Patricia, I couldn't ignore the fact that way down deep, I still had this stirring, this desire for someone special, to have a wife.
Right.
To the point of where I even thought, man, am I being a hypocrite? On the one hand, I'm telling the Lord, you're all I need, you're my everything. And the other hand, every once in a while, I'd say to him, Lord, do you have someone special for me? And one day I decided, I'm just going to pour my heart out to God. And I shared all that with him. I said, Lord, will you help me? Tell me what your thoughts on this are. And what was interesting to me is he took me in Genesis 2 to where he brought Eve to Adam. And he pointed out very specifically what Adam's words were when the Lord brought Eve to her. And they were this: at last. And what was interesting to me is that exclamation was within the context of perfect union, communion, and fellowship with God. And Adam didn't know anything about woman. Woman didn't even exist. And yet he had perfect relationship with God. And yet when the Lord brought him Eve, this exclamation came out of him, oh, at last. Even in perfect union with God, there was this part of him that God had placed within him for a desire for a wife. And so that gave me real grace and real freedom to believe God and say, Lord, okay, I believe you have someone for me. You wouldn't have shown this to me if you didn't. And the real encouragement I want to give to people is not only can it happen in any stage in life, but to trust that when God brings it forth is the right time.
Amen.
Because I didn't walk it out perfectly. And you've known me for 11, 12 years. I've been friends with you and Ron, mentored by you guys. I didn't always walk it out perfectly. There were times I got frustrated. There were times I was like, God, let's hurry it up. But what was interesting to me is I look back now, and he used every moment of that time. Mm-hmm. He taught me in relationship with him so much about relationship.
Beautiful.
That I'm now a better husband and friend to Uri than I would have been if he blessed me with her 10 years ago.
I love it. His timing is always perfect.
It's always perfect.
Always perfect.
It's always perfect.
And, you know, sometimes you can wait for, like, let's say 20, 30 years, and it feels like a long wait. But then it can happen very suddenly, like overnight, because you might think, well, there's no one in sight right now. I mean, I would love to be married, but there's nobody in sight. But tonight, tomorrow, You know, the next day there could be someone in sight and it could be that person. And that's basically what happened with you. You were waiting all that time.
Yes.
And there was nothing was connecting, and you know, you even put a few feelers
out,
but it just wasn't there. But then suddenly. It's interesting because that's one of your Rhema words that God has given you. And suddenly there she was. And then everything happened very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. And Uri and I had known each other for, 6 or 7 months. I actually was given the great gift of leading her to the Lord when we were friends, and actually she was my doctor. And all of a sudden, God opened my eyes, and I just knew that I was to ask her out. And she said yes, and we started dating, and very quickly, everything came together. And God confirmed it,
awesome.
And I checked in with you and some other of my friends. You know, I wanted to say, what are you guys getting? I got confirming word after word. And we just knew that this was a fast track. It was of God,
awesome.
And that He was blessing it and bringing us together.
Awesome.
And we have really enjoyed the blessing of that since.
But also, I want to say this, is that sometimes people feel almost like a second-rate Christian if they're not married.
Right.
And that is not from the Lord at all, you know, because whether you're single or whether you're married, it's as unto the Lord you live your life.
Absolutely.
And some people actually aren't for sure that they want to get married, and that's fine.
It is.
Totally fine. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8, he says, but I say to the unmarried and to the widow that it is good for them if they remain even as I, which was single. So if you choose that, it's good.
It is.
It's not second rate. It's not lower level. It is good. It's actually declared as good. So if that's what you desire, and that can change. Like you might think, I just love my singleness. That's how I want to live for God. But if down the road it changes.
Right.
And
it did for me.
Great. Yep.
And I think that's the key. Be at peace with God in your relationship with God, wherever He has you. And then from that, He can bring you into whatever He wants.
Amen. Now, I want to talk about the whole thing of decrees. We just have a couple minutes left, but I want to get into this. You've written this awesome book called Divine Union, Decrees for a Heavenly Marriage. Do you want to share a little bit about how this came about and why you feel these decrees are important?
Sure thing. Now, this book came out of actually Uri and I coming to you for premarital counseling. And because we saw the strength of yours in Ron's marriage, we said we want that kind of wisdom in our lives as we go to the altar. And one of the things you said to us in one of our first meetings was to seek God for scriptures to declare, to frame our marriage in the spirit before we stepped into the natural.
Because it says in Hebrews 11:3 that by faith the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God even used that.
That's right.
We frame our marriage.
And that idea exploded in me because I love the word, I love prayer, I love decrees. And I got to thinking, how many couples build a house in the natural on their way to being married that they then move into once they're married? And they're covered by it, they're protected by it. And I thought, if we can do that with wood and nails in the natural, how much more can we do it in the spirit with the word of God? So Uri and I went to the Lord and we started asking Him for scriptures that we could declare over our marriage to frame it in the spirit. And the thing that was amazing to me, I went into this thinking there'd be, I don't know, 2 or 3, 4 strong decrees. But God just kept giving us more and more and more and more scriptures. We had 6 decrees, 7 decrees. We ended up with more than a dozen decrees, Patricia, that cover every area of marriage, relationships, and bringing two lives and families
it's
together.
Just awesome.
And we have seen the blessing of God as we've
totally.
Made these decrees. We're inhabiting it.
Your marriage is amazing. And what a way to start it, where you actually decreed those words into your marriage. So when you got married, on the day that we pronounced you man and wife, you actually stepped into the framework of that in the spirit. And so you're living it out with success in every area. It's just awesome, and we're so proud of you. Now, I just want to say that no matter if you're a newlywed or you're not married yet or you've been married 20 years, you can still frame your marriage with the goodness of God through the decrees of the word. We know that this works. You speak it out. When you speak out that word, it creates the substance of what you're declaring into your reality. So I really want to encourage you to get Divine Union, Decrees for a Heavenly Marriage. It's just an awesome tool for finding your mate. I declare in Jesus' name a blessing over you, your marriages, and over the family mountain. Come on, church. We're going to rise up and be a voice. I believe that even right now, God is actually anointing apostolic leaders to take that mountain, to be a voice, to take hold of the values of the family and to make it brilliant. So in the name of Jesus, remember this over you and your family, over you and your life, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.
Robert, thank you so much for being here with us today to talk about your new book, Divine Union.
Sure thing. I'm really excited about the new book.
Well, so are we. Let's jump right in. Where did the inspiration for writing a decree book come from?
Actually, the idea was presented to my wife and I on our way to getting married, that we could frame our marriage in the spirit before we stepped into it in the natural. And I got to thinking about how couples will often build a home together, and then they'll move into it after they're married. And I thought, if we can do that with wood and nails in the natural, how much more can we do that with the Word of God, with scriptural decrees in the Spirit?
Wow, amazing revelation. So tell me about the experience of writing the book.
What was really neat is it drew me into God's heart for marriage. And He's called our bridegroom. And in this, I really discovered that our bridegroom has an incredible heart for marriage. He has this desire to help us establish firm foundations of honor and respect, all under His covering of love. And I would write one decree, and then He'd give me another and another and another, until every area of bringing two lives and families together in marriage recovered.
Wow, that is awesome. Has it benefited you?
Oh, absolutely. Uri and I, we were really blessed even in not only seeking God for the promises, but then we declared these scriptures every single day on our way to the altar. Now, some of those days we were together, but for a great stretch of time, I was overseas ministering. So we were doing them together, but from a distance, and an incredible bond and intimacy of co-laboring together in the Spirit to establish our marriage was created. And to this day, we're enjoying the fruit of that co-laboring and that intimacy.
And you're confident that this will benefit others as well?
Absolutely. I believe these decrees will not only benefit people who are on their way to the altar, but single people who want to be married. This will help them declare a decree and establish the marriage they'll come into one day. Plus, it will draw the right mate to them and keep the wrong ones at bay. People who are in strong marriages can make these decrees, and it will keep their marriage strong. And if anybody's in a marriage that's struggling right now, these decrees can work to bring revival and reformation to a marriage that's been struggling.
Wow. So speaking of single people, let's talk for a minute about Patricia's teaching, Finding Your Mate. Now, I understand that it's one of XP's best-selling teachings.
Absolutely. It's been one of our all-time best-selling teachings, and it really bears witness to how many people are longing to be in a godly relationship. God created us for a relationship with Him, and then in Him, He's called many of us to enjoy the sanctity of marriage. And there are many people crying out for it, and the teachings on Finding Your Mate and the decrees in Divine Union, they can help people come into that relationship they're longing for.
Wow. Thank you so much for your time, Robert. Thank you for being with us and talking about your new book.
It's true. Thank you.
You can receive this book and DVD combo for only $30 plus shipping. Divine Union by Robert Hodgkin is packed with powerful scriptural promises for blessing, prosperity, wholeness, and unity that you can decree over your divine union. Still looking for the one? Patricia King's Finding Your Mate DVD imparts you with a biblical, humorous, and encouraging perspective of God as your perfect matchmaker. Order this combo today. Call 866-980-5464 and mention television offer number 352. Go online to patriciaking.com or text BLESS to 42828.